Welcome to Golden Mastermind Seminars Radio with your host, Jeffrey Combs.
Jeffrey Combs, two for Tuesday. It's the last two for Tuesday of 2021. Welcome, everyone. Prayers and feelings of prosperity to you all today. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I am the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated, and it's right here on my polo. So welcome, Lucy. So good to see you this afternoon. Scott Lucas, how are you? Scott, your content was phenomenal Sunday night on sobriety consciousness. That was just so good, the way you articulated the 12 traditions. T.C. Cole, how are you this evening? John Ramsey, good to see you, my passionate patriot. For those of you who are, Lucy, so good to be the coach of you and Sean. Honored. Michael Cole, my brother from another mother. Michael, good to see you. Michael and I have a long history going back to 2002. Michael, good to see you. TC, how are you? Oh, there's my cowboy, Henry. How are you? If you did not watch Yellowstone last night, it was classic. Oh, and Heather is in West Palm Beach. Heather, we won't tell you we're jealous or envious, but we do admire the fact that you're on West Palm this afternoon. Henry Klauke, my young superstar, is in Cody, Wyoming. What's the temperature there, Henry? And Linda Cook Hissaw, how are you this afternoon? This is the end. John Law, good to see you, John. Honored to have been your coach a large percent of this past year. Welcome, everyone. Good to have you here on in California. It's a beautiful Tuesday afternoon. And thank you, TC, for letting me know. Beautiful afternoon. Christina, good to see you this morning or this afternoon. I coached a client in Burlington, Ontario, who's a restaurant owner and low 20s. All right. So I have a great Facebook Live for you this afternoon. And the topic is silencing your inner critic. If you grew up with parents who were critical of you, a brother or a sister, if you were the golden child, if you were the child who couldn't measure up to your brothers and your sisters, or if you had highly successful parents, or you had parents who consistently put you in a position that you had to validate, justify, and explain yourself, or you had coaches in gymnastics or volleyball or multiple sports, and you could not measure up to the potential or the pressure they put on you, there's a high possibility or probability that you are critical of yourself and possibly critical of others. And that will show up in multiple addictions. I have been a success and addiction coach, and Hind is with us from far across the sea. Good to see you this afternoon, or whatever time it is, Hind. It is so good to see you. Hind is with us from United Arab Emirates. I've been her coach for 2 years, so thank you for joining us. So the topic for today's Facebook Live is letting go of your inner critic. So I have been a success and addiction coach for 23 going on 24 years. So I've coached people to really understand that addictions mean more than drugs and alcohol. The addictions that I assist people with is to understanding how your emotions create your procrastination, how your emotions create your hesitancy, how your emotions will create your avoidance tendencies, which leads to being late, being critical, being overwhelmed, holding on to a set of feelings that creates the feelings of not being good enough. And if you're in this mixed message of not being good enough, there's a high probability that you will not be excelling to the capability that you're capable of, because of how the events that shaped your feelings keep you in anxiety, fear, and doubt. Colleen, so good to see you today. Colleen has been a long-term client of mine. I coached Colleen for 5 years. Alicia, good to see you this afternoon. Good to have you on today's Facebook Live. The topic for today's Facebook Live is letting go and or healing your inner critic. So many people don't know how they de-edify themselves, how critical they are of themselves. Now this ends up in cutting, burning, mutilating, drugs, alcohol, failed relationships, traumatic relationships, violence in relationships, a multitude of situations that continue to keep the consciousness in a lower self. The lower self, we tend to hold on to an emotion called apathy. Apathy is one of the lowest emotions that we hold on to. Apathy is what leads what the medical community refers to as depression. It's despondency, depression, low self-esteem, not feeling good enough. And when it comes to the dialogue with money associated with it, usually there's a dialogue with money that is not deserving, not able to receive, not capable of creating, in a time and money situation that most people are relegated to holding on to a job that barely compensates them because they are not good enough. Scott says, I was a cutter as a child. I completely understand that. I have coached many cutters and burners who would cut themselves because it feels like the pressure is coming off. I too have experienced that myself. I have a slit down my wrist. When, if you've ever heard of the Goo Goo Dolls, the Buffalo Band, they had a song called Iris, and the words go, scars are souvenirs you never lose, the past is never far. And in the song, John Resnick, who sings the song, says, you bleed just to know you're alive. Now, if you have ever been in that state of apathy, you know exactly what that statement means. And so that's a rock bottom statement. For those of you who are in recovery, and I assume that most of you on this Facebook Live are experiencing that, you're in a state of recovery, you're moving into sobriety, and you're looking to scale your consciousness. Now, to even be in that space is courage. And that is the state that you start to let go of being your own inner critic. And if you have, like I said, if you have parents or people in your circle of influence, a husband, a wife, an ex-husband, a wife, any multitude of people who were highly critical of you, and it just continued to beat you down and beat you down, and you just got smaller and smaller, well, there's a high probability that it kept you in a place where you underachieve and under-earn. Oh, outstanding. Ace and Rich have just joined us. Ace and Rich are an exceptional couple that I've had the privilege of coaching. They live in Puerto Rico now. They decided to take the leap, and they moved from the East Coast to Puerto Rico, and they are living their dream. Now, that's all of us could do that. I mean, you don't have to leave the country to do this, but that was part of one of their outcomes, and they definitely were not critical of themselves in doing that. Although there are possibilities when you decide to leave the clan, you leave the brood, you leave your circle of influence, there are people who will criticize you. How dare you? I can't believe you're taking our grandkids from us. I can't believe you're doing this. We will never get to see you. Or these people end up following you. And they follow you because they can't let go of you. And if you can't let go of them, then you're going to be in that same circle of influence that is highly critical of you. Dana, good to see you this afternoon. Now, once again, if you had parents, brothers and sisters, people in that close circle of influence that criticized you, factor how many times you're criticized by the time you're 18. That's what is referred to as a trauma bond. And so that trauma that you grow up in becomes an identity and is carried into your 20s, 30s, and 40s. And it shows up in the relationships that you attract, the managers, the bosses that you end up working for, the people that you date, mate, marry, and have experiences with. And then it just escalates. And so if you are so done with that, then you're on the right situation. The analytical egoic mind that says, how do I? Well, how do you? It's not how do you stop being critical. It's are you committed to letting go of being critical? And that's the process that starts emotional sobriety. So there's three phases. Emotional sobriety is when you recognize it. That's acceptance. Recovery is when you practice it, and consciousness is when you scale it. So that means, once again, it's sobriety is when you recognize it, that acceptance. That is honesty. Recovery is in the practice of it, and then consciousness is the awareness, understanding, and the inner knowing that you begin to live in. In consciousness, you will not criticize yourself. In consciousness, recovery, and sobriety, you will move into a state where you can make a mistake without being critical of yourself. So you can make a mistake and you can own the mistake. In the recovery process, you can make amends to people. You can absolutely fuck up. You can make a mistake. You can cause a serious breakdown. You can relapse in certain situations, and you can make amends. And you can also practice forgiveness. And when you make amends, you can make amends to people without making excuses. But if you make an excuse while making an apology or asking for forgiveness, that's not really forgiveness. That's a qualified lie. And that's what many people do. And you'll experience it at times. And you also learn to let people go. And a major component of being critical is look who's criticizing you. And it's going to be your responsibility to create healthy boundaries with these people. You may have to separate yourself from these people. You may have to fire your boss. You may have to leave a business situation that isn't healthy for you. But it's going to require courage, the courage to face the facts. So self-criticizing is like self-mutilating. And when you have a better understanding of why you do, oh, I'm so dumb, I'm so stupid. Well, that was stupid. Well, most people don't know how they talk to themselves. The way they communicate to themselves is not healthy. And the way they communicate to themselves oftentimes is filled with self-criticism, with anxiety, fear, and doubt, and a series of words, of made-up words, words on a run on words like kinda, I don't know. Many people say I-D-U-N-N-O, dunno, I don't know. And they add this into the sentence structure, I don't know. And it becomes a slang word that people use to insert. And then there's also guess, I guess, I guess. So that, and if you, as you learn to understand cause and effect, how the event shaped the feelings, as you move into the state of recovery, you start to become a lot more aware of why you do what you do. You start to adapt your word choices. And as you begin to speak from clarity and have a vision and move into a place called belief, that's your sense of certainty, you will not be relapsing on being critical of yourself or others. You'll be able to see people's character defects and not get attached to making them wrong. Or you won't get seduced into a conversation where you feel that you have to validate, justify, and explain yourself. You will easily and effortlessly let people go without feeling violated, rejected, or abandoned. And when you feel rejected and abandoned, you either want to criticize yourself because it's my fault. That comes from shame. So when it's your fault, you're holding on to the shame from the past events that have been unreleased. And a lot of what we hold on to is a term called denial. And we tell ourselves, I don't know, I don't understand, this doesn't make sense. We live in the analytical, egoic mind. The mind of reason. We want to figure it out. We want to reason this. It doesn't make sense. Letting go isn't anything about making sense. Letting go is a skill set called letting go. Letting go is a separation from a feeling. It's a separation from an event. So you can absolutely begin that process and that change today by letting go of how critical you are of yourself. As you can let go of being critical of yourself, you can let go of being critical of others. And when you let go of pointing out other people's flaws and look at your own, that's step four in any recovery process. That is called a moral inventory. When you can take inventory of yourself without taking inventory of others and focus on you without feeling selfish and look at rigorous honesty in why you do what you do, then you're separating your feelings from the events that would create criticism, that would create not feeling good enough, that would not feel worthy, that feels selfless, that feels that many people are afraid to succeed because they're afraid they're going to perceive to be selfish. So they will hold themselves back to please other people while criticizing themselves and others for not achieving the success that they know they're capable of. And that's what many people do, is they know they can let go. They know they can succeed, but they don't know they can succeed, and they don't know they can let go, and that's the doubt they stay in. Because that would change your behavior. That would break up the payoff. Chronic avoiders and chronic procrastinators avoid and procrastinate to control the outcome. And the control that they control keeps them out of control, and then they end up controlling being disappointed. So if disappointment is a way of life, this is where criticism is. So if you were called a fuck up as a kid, and if you were called a mistake, if you were the mistake by the lake, and so if you were called these terms, if you were an accident, if you were an unwanted child, I mean, this all plays heavy burden on children that become grown-ups because they carry that trauma bond throughout their life. Or if you were held back, or if you have a speech impediment, or any multitude of situations, or you're brought into a new culture, and you don't fit in that new culture, and you're singled out, you're traumatized, you're picked on. I mean, I was in a hazing incident when I was a freshman in high school in sports, and I was told that if I told anyone what happened to me, every one of the athletes in my class would get it twice as bad as I did. So what that meant is that I am being guilted into taking this punishment and then silently suffering and then being ashamed of what happened to me, which creates self-hatred. It creates not being good enough. It creates a secret that I have to hold on to. I can't tell my parents. I can't tell anyone what happened to me, because if I do, other people are going to suffer from it. So this becomes the self-hatred that leads to cutting and other situations. Once again, scars are souvenirs. The past is never far. I mean, that's the song from the group. That's the song Iris, and it's a great song by the Goo Goo Dolls. I was bullied from elementary to junior high in Jersey. So I mean, once again, so when you're in those feelings, you're in complete fight or flight most of your day, because you're worried about what's going to happen to you. You're worried about who's going to pick on you. So now the skill set is being able to realize this has actually happened to me. That moves you into acceptance. And you realize this is why you sabotage yourself. This is why you sabotage your relationships. This is why you look at the events and have a better understanding of why you're not good enough. This is why the body holds on to weight to protect you. And so if you let go of that weight, someone might violate you. Well, that's the story that you've believed, and you can change that belief, because that belief isn't even true, but that's what you did to protect yourself. And that's what you do to protect yourself. You stuff your feelings. And as you have a better understanding of the cause, how the events shape these feelings, and you practice the mechanism of letting go, it's this mechanism, and it's acceptance, it's a longer breath cycle, you practice forgiveness, you make amends, and you start doing it one day at a time. And this begins to change the reflexes, the neurological network of neurons that wire and fire that form your emotions. And as you move out of being this overly emotional being, and you move into consciousness, you begin to flatline your emotional state, so you're not like this, up and down, up and down. And so you're not 0 from 100. So I would go from 0 to 100 and I would be pissed off, which eventually creates a prostate issue and a bladder issue. It's a mind-body connection. Also creates a lumbar 4 going out of place frequently on the left side of my body. C1 and C2 and the upper cervical goes out frequently because of this grinding. I'm going to just grind it out. And I'm just going to fucking do it. I mean, that grinding also would go into my sleep, so there's no rest. And then I would tell myself, I can't turn the engine off. Well, over a 33-year period of recovery, I've learned to let go. I've taught letting go for 24 years. I started teaching it to my team in my early recovery. And then in 1998, I started my coaching services, Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. I've taught people to write letters to perpetrators and violators, make silent amends, practice the art of forgiveness, let go, separate your feelings from the events that shape them, understand how a mind-body connection gets created, understand how it shows up in your body, how to begin letting go of asthma, eczema, psoriasis, situations that get in our respiratory issues, gut issues, SIBO, small intestinal bacterial organisms, parasites, irritable bowel syndrome, and all these situations that are mind-body connections based on being traumatized, victimized, criticized. And so that self-criticism that so much of society holds on to keeps them from ever excelling. It keeps them from being their best self. Because if you're not good enough, it absolutely contradicts you being good enough. So that's the duality you let go of, because there is no duality. In consciousness, it's not good and bad. It's not right and wrong. It's not black and white. It's consciousness. And that consciousness is understanding. So when you understand, now you're out of the fog. When you stop drinking, it's amazing what happens, because the brain fog stops. When you stop eating horrible food, it also changes the brain fog. When you let go of all this shit you hold on to in your gut, it's amazing what you begin to eliminate. When you actually start practicing colonics, which is an advanced technique in cleansing the colon, when you start practicing coffee enemas, which actually is a level of detox, when you start doing master cleansing, when you start doing 9-day master cleanse, or you start doing detoxes and cleanses, when you move into homeopathic healing and recovery, your body begins to change. The brain fog that you've held on to, being not good enough creates a brain fog, because you spent so much time in your head not being good enough. You spent so much time in your head cutting yourself off from your chi, your sexual energy. You've spent so much time in your head controlling your control that you end up out of control. You spend so much time exhausting yourself not being good enough that it affects the adrenal system, the lymphatic system, and other organs of the body. And the body can heal itself. It absolutely can, but it starts by loving yourself rather than criticizing yourself. Instead of criticizing self, love self. There is no yeah, but in loving yourself. The minute your ego goes into yeah, but, you've relapsed before you started. And this is why it's important that you learn to receive a compliment. When you can't receive a compliment, that's a byproduct of not being good enough. When someone gives you a compliment and you're not able to hear it, because that's out of your wheelhouse, that's your responsibility to access that compliment, receive it, and let go. And let go of the events that have shaped those feelings. And realize that you are so much more, and you are worthy of it. And you deserve it. Deserve is spelled D-E-S-E-R-V-E. In Latin, it means da servie, day of service. Right up there on my wall is a picture of Frederick Lehrman, who was the author of the highly inspiring audio cassette series called Prosperity Consciousness. That was breakthrough content for me in 1996. I'd heard the word prosperity, but I thought it meant money. But what it really means is prospero. It's a Latin term. It means in the flow. It means to flow. And deserve, which is a very contradictory statement, it's a contradictory word for if you're not good enough because you don't deserve it. But when you allow yourself to deserve it, then you'll stop this statement of who am I to deserve? What you are? Who are you? You are you and you're brilliant. You are you and you can be free. You can be free of the trauma bonds that you've held. That they're like an elastic band that holds you back. You try and go forward, but the trauma bond brings you right back into that trauma. So you can justify and validate not being good enough. So when someone gives you a compliment, it becomes quite contradictory because if you're not lovable and not good enough, and you can't succeed, that relegates you to just getting by and struggling and getting a job and then being in liability debt and then being pissed off and overwhelmed and seeing other people succeed. Then you become envious and you're criticizing them, even though you know it's contradictory, but you know you do it because you know you do it, and then you do it because you criticize yourself. And when you get exhausted being exhausted, when the pain is great enough, when you're at the emotional rock bottom required to let go, and you are so done with this, and the pain is great enough, you will never relapse again. People ask me, don't you miss alcohol? I go, no. Well, you love vodka. You love scotch, my old friends would say. I said, I did once upon a time, but the pleasure isn't worth the pain. It isn't worth it. It isn't worth the lies I would have to tell. It isn't worth the pain I'd have to experience. As a recovering serial cheater, the same thing. God, the lies you have to tell to be a cheater, the lies you have to tell to be a pathological liar are exhausting. The control you're in to be a liar is exhausting. And that's what sobriety is. Sobriety is rigorous honesty. And when you can be rigorous honesty, specifically about this one key point, when you are honest with yourself that you are good enough, you can be honest with others. But until you are good enough, how can you ever be honest with people? Because you're not, because you're just going to deflect that you're good enough. And when you really break that one point right down there, that you're special, you're unique, and you deserve to be your best. It doesn't matter what you've been through. What matters is how you look at what you've been through. And when you can see that brilliance in you, that you're a child of God, that you are special and you are unique, and you deserve to be your best you, then you will no longer be the mind-body connection to the events that created you not being good enough. And when you can just, when you can pour that love out that you've stuffed and repress for so long, then you won't be in your head trying to analyze all the shit you hold on to. And you will free yourself. And I am one of those people that experienced it. You can experience it too. See, and Henry just said it, one's too many, a thousand's not enough. Thank you for all the compliments and the content. This is the last Tuesday of the year of our Lord, 2021, a very, very challenging year. I will be quite candid with you and be very honest with you. It has been a very challenging year just to watch our world and country be torn apart the way it's being torn apart. I have deep compassion and feelings for our world, and it's just challenging to see what's happening to it. However, we can create our differences. See, the world can be going on outside of us, and we can still be that light for people. We can be that courage that people can look to. And you can actually be that light. Because when you light that match in darkness, the darkness lights up. And that's what's so important, that you be good enough, you forgive yourself, because you are no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shape your feelings. Allow yourself to feel your feelings. Feel that pain. Experience that pain. Let it go. It's so waste of energy. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I'm the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. Thank you, Lisa. I really, really appreciate it. That's Lisa Pazenza, long-term client friend of mine. It's a great compliment. Thank you, Heather. Honored to have been your coach. For those of you who are on my Facebook Live here today, thank you, Carolyn. Honored to be your friend and coach. Lucy, you're an exceptional woman. Thank you. Love you and your husband. So if you're on my call today and you've not experienced a free 20-minute coaching session, Frankie, good to see you. Feel free to go right up there in Facebook Messenger and send me a message, and I'll respond to you within 24 hours. Hind, honored to have been your coach for the last couple of years. Beth, honored to have been your coach. Honored to have been all of yours, friend and coach. It is a very challenging time in our world right now. Danielle, good to see you. Do your best to be your best. You're all amazing. Tell yourself you're good enough, you're lovable, and do your best to stop criticizing yourself for one day of sobriety, one whole day without criticizing yourself. Have a great afternoon. John, honored to have been your coach. Have a great day, everyone.